Well, good morning. We were good. I'm sorry.
I was just told if you have cell phones and not turned off, the cell phones do tend to interfere with the microphone and the recording back there. So if you got one, you just kind of turn it off real quick.
We're so glad to be here this morning, and it's always a blessing to be here, brother. Folks, always a blessing to us, and we do pray for you often. And, you know, that's one thing about being an evangelist is that we get to meet our brothers and sisters before we get to heaven. And that's a great honor and privilege that the Lord gives us. And Scooter's hurting a little bit today with her arthritis, and I appreciate your prayers there. I'll be married to her 36 years this month, you know. Every year I tell her I'm going to keep her another year. She says, no. But anyway, it's been wonderful. And so this morning in Sunday school, we talked about learning to have patience toward all men. And as I was praying about this morning's service, God has directed me over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And if you go there with me in your Bibles, and when you get there, let's just stand one more time as we honor God by the reading of His precious Holy Word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. I'm going to read verse 17 through verse 22. Verse 17, the Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these I have observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you today, and thank you so much, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for every person here today. Lord, these dear folks could have been anywhere else, but they're here in the house of God. And Lord, they didn't come here to hear from me, but they did come to hear from God. So God, I pray that we'll open our hearts and our minds and our spirits as you speak to each and every person. Lord, every person has a different need. And Lord, only you can meet every need. And God, I pray today you'll meet the need of your people. And God, if for every person that may be here today that does not know the sweet Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, you're not dead and you're not asleep. You made sure that we're here. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll be willing to receive whatever you have for us. And, Lord, for every Christian that's here today, I pray that we will rededicate our lives and live closer to the Lord and be all that you want us to be. Lord, you're so wonderful to us, and thank you so much for saving us. Now, may you have your will and way during this service. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you notice there with me in verse 21, here is this young rich ruler bragging about all the things that he had done for God from the time of his youth. Kind of like us Christians sometimes. You know, we always, "God, I hope you're watching. God, I hope this counts." And always got our big list of everything that we do for God. But notice there in verse 21, he says, "But there's one thing thou lackest." In other words, none of us have arrived, and there's things that we're lacking in. It may not be something that you're doing. It may be something you're not doing. One thing thou lackest. And from this situation that occurred in the life of the young rich ruler, think on the simple words, "One thing thou lackest." What is it in your life that's missing? What's missing in your life today? God may be putting something on your life that needs to be corrected. Something that you need to do that you're not doing. One thing thou lackest. God is speaking to all of us today in some way. And so there are those failing today because they won't stick to anything. We think of marriages. You know, today, there's such a high percentage of divorce. And, you know, the sad thing is, I'm not talking just in the world. I'm talking among God's people, among Christians. They're going the way of the world. The Bible says they're going the way of Balaam. And you see, my dear friends, think about our marriages today. Is God just involved in your life? Or is he first in your life? The sad thing today, a lot of men send their wives and their children to church. Thank God. But you ought to come as a family. One thing thou lackest. Do you have a prayer time and a devotional time where you as a family meet with God every day? Do you just involve God in your life? Or is he first in your life? One thing thou lackest, and then in our jobs, you know, a Christian ought to be the best employee that an employer has. Your employer is not your boss. God is your boss. And you make sure you honor God as an employee. One thing thou lackest. Also in churches today, you know, so many churches today have evicted the Holy Spirit of God. How we need churches today that have the Holy Spirit of God and where Christ is alive. He's here today, amen. He is. Thank the Lord. It's wonderful. You know, no one has to tell you when you're in a church where Christ is alive, it just, you'll feel his spirit when you walk in. Thank the Lord. But, you know, there are so many churches that are lacking that. And then also in the ministry today, so many men quitting the ministry and giving up on God and sin and falling from grace, my friends. One thing thou lackest. See, they had a mind and they had education and they had training, you know, and they had personality. But, you know, these are those failing today because they wouldn't have these things. But the Apostle Paul had all of these things, but they would not endure. They do not keep going. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a spirit-filled Christian? What is it in your life that's lacking? One thing thou lackest. Do you need to say to God this morning, oh God, something is missing in my life. Help me to correct it. Help me to make it right. I know pastors who were good men. And I mean, they could quote scripture. They could preach great sermons, but they failed terribly. Something was wrong, and maybe something morally wrong, and they turned aside. And Saul of Tarsus had just about everything that a man could want. And he had a brilliant mind, a good education, a high position, and good respect. But my friends, he did not know Christ. He was lost. And look at the young rich ruler today. You know, thousands of folks have something in their lives that they need to pray. Oh God, make me what you want me to be. They need to pray, God, make me what you want me to be. And look today at the young rich ruler. Look at the influential, and look at the rich, and look at the politicians and others. Something is wrong. Something's not hitting right. Now, this may be true of the president. It may be true of the governor. It may be true of a senator. It could be true of anybody. It may be true of you. What is missing in your life today? Do you know that you're born again? Do you know today that if you died and was ushered out into eternity to meet God, would you go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. Over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would, in your Bibles. And let's look at verse 12 together. Notice there in verse 12, the Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm not talking about being Baptist. I'm not talking about being Methodist. I'm not talking about being Presbyterian. I'm asking you today, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is he the Lord of your life? Paul, you know, knew whom he had believed, and Peter thought the Lord Jesus Christ was precious. You know, sometimes we've been saved for so long that we take our salvation for granted. Let me ask you a question, dear Christian. No matter how long you've been saved, is Christ precious to you? Is he precious? Turn with me to, over to 1 Peter in your Bible, chapter 2 with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 7 together. Verse 7, the Bible says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You see, the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is real. Do you know him? And I'm not asking, do you know about him? There's a difference in knowing facts. You know, Scooter and I have been married 36 years. I knew some things about her. Now I know her. You see, because that comes with over time. It's one thing to love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's another thing to trust him. One thing thou lackest. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust him enough, not just to save you, but to guide your life and to give you direction and purpose for your life? Dear friend, when I see folks that fail, I wonder sometimes if they're really saved. When I see them come to church for a while and then they quit, I wonder if they've really been born again. Recently, you know, I was talking to a missionary not long ago who told me that 10% of missionaries come home after 1 year term on the field. Something is wrong. Check your life. Be established in the work of God. You know, I've been so honored and so privileged to have been in the ministry 46 years this past July. And you know, it's been tough, amen, brother. It's been hard. It's never been easy. But it is so rewarding. It is so rewarding. And you know, being loyal, being faithful to God, and that's what God has called us to do. You know, first, do you know that you're saved? Can you say this morning, yes, Jesus is mine, and I'm a child of God? You know, the thing is that over in John chapter 3, verse 16, 17 and 18, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, folks, the big conflict today is what pays for sin. You know, now think about it. Think about it. If there was anything in this world, on this side of heaven, that you and I could do to pay for our sin, then Jesus Christ died for nothing. You see, you know, the thing that we have to realize that we can come to the Lord with empty hands, there's nothing we can do. God gave his very best. And if we cannot accept his gift of eternal life through his only begotten Son, then there's nothing that God can do. It's a free gift. It's not what you do for Jesus. It's what Jesus did for you. Thank the Lord. All you have to do is realize that we're all sinners. Now, if you're here today and you're perfect, I'd like to meet you after church. I've never met a perfect person. You know, and that means every single one of us are sinners. And you know, and the interesting, Jesus didn't come, as the scripture teaches, to die for the religious and the elite. He came to die for sinners. In Romans 5:8, he says, he commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm so glad that Christ came to die for sinners, or I'd have been left out. You would have been left out. And first of all, realize that you're a sinner. Realize that you can't pay for your own sin. And realize that you must turn from whatever you're trusting today, whether it's your good deeds, your good works, whether it's baptism, whether it's church membership, whatever it is. Those are wonderful things, by the way. But it doesn't pay for sin. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, it's just Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not minus Jesus. It's not plus Jesus. It's just Jesus. How we need today. And you know what? God has brought you here today to hear the truth, to hear the gospel message. That you don't have to die and go to hell. You don't. God has provided a way out for you today. But God's not going to force himself on you. It's up to you, dear friend. Is it heaven? Is it hell? Is it church membership? Is it good deeds? Is it baptism? Or is it Christ? One thing thou lackest. See, dear friend, I know I was in Florida a few years ago preaching in a meeting, and when a man came up to me and he told me that he had heard one of my CDs from his wife who was attending the meeting at the time, and he said, Brother Davis, I just got saved listening to your CD, and I rejoiced with him. He continued to tell me that he was driving from Dalton, Georgia, and with some friends who asked him to listen to this CD on the way home. And he said, I was a member of the First Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, but had never been saved. Now, you may be a church member here today. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a choir member. You might even be a preacher. But are you saved? Church membership is not a sign of new birth. It's not a sign of knowing Christ as your personal Savior. Also, if you're saved, you need to tell others how to be saved. Oh, the wonderful, glorious news. You know, that's where we fail. God is saying to us today, if you're not knocking on doors, if you're not passing out tracts, if you're not winning, hey, one thing thou lackest. Second of all, do you have a sense of direction in your life? A calling from God? Do you have a purpose in life? God has a will, a definite purpose for your life. Will you ask like Paul, Lord, what would you have me to do? Then do it. Do it. I know God's will for your life is, and walk with him every single day. Don't just come to church on Sunday. But God's will for your life is to walk with him every day. Isn't it interesting in the Garden of Eden that the Lord knew where to find Adam and Eve? And they had a daily habit. The Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And, of course, he asked Adam, where art thou? You know the record. And yet, but how would God know where to find him if they didn't have the habit of walking in the garden every day? Folks, we need to have a habit of daily walking with God. That's God's will for our life. Also, many folks don't have direction for their lives. They're drifters, and our cities are full of them wandering up and down the streets and living in the alleys and the gutters. They haven't been born again. They haven't been called of God. I know a lot of folks are able to say, yes, I do have direction for my life. I know what God wants me to do. Young man, young woman, mom, dad, God has a will for you and a definite spot that he wants you to fill. Will you follow where he leads? One thing thou lackest. What I'm trying to emphasize is the necessity of having a sense of direction. Knowing God's will for your life, the world may not agree with you. And you may have to change friends and part with some of your family. But go God's way. Serve him. Obey your Lord. I remember years ago when I resigned as pastor and I went into evangelism. And, of course, I was in my mid-40s then, or early 40s. And they said, well, you're too old, you know. Can you imagine that? And I said, look, all I had is an old beat-up Chevy, a King James Bible, and a message on my heart. And I says, God, if you can't use me, just go ahead and take me home. Of course, the good old Lord looked down there and said, that old fool's going to do it anyway. I might as well help him. Folks, one thing thou lackest. My dear friends, do you have a sense of direction in your life? Do you desire to know the will of God for your life? Do you desire to follow God's will for your life? You know, everybody today is just happy just being saved. I'm just going to heaven and just coast until he comes. Folks, there's so much more to it than that. I mean, you want the blessings of God on your life. Why do you think God left you here after he saved us? Oh, dear friend, you're missing out on so much. Secondly, do you desire to follow God's will for your life? Then thirdly, do you know the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God? Do you know the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you a question. The day you got saved, how much of Jesus Christ did you get? All of him. And the day you got saved, how much of God the Father did you get? All of him. And the day you got saved, how much of the Holy Spirit did you get? All of him. So see, now the question is so what's this feeling? It's not that you get more of him, you got all you're going to get. But he gets more of you. See, the Holy Spirit is not power the Holy Spirit is not power to be used. He is a person to be yielded to so that you might be used. If you're saved, then you have the Holy Spirit. But does he have you? Are you filled with the Spirit of God today? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. As I said in Sunday school this morning, before you can be filled, you first must walk with the Spirit. Are you walking with the Spirit of God today? Or are you walking in the flesh? You see, dear friend, God wants to fill you. Have you surrendered your life to him from the youngest to the oldest Christian? You need the fullness of the Spirit of God today. You know, I preached in New Hampshire several years ago at a Bible conference on the filling of the Holy Spirit. And later I was walking around the ground and a gentleman came up to me and said, preacher, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I won't tell you what I told him. If you're a child of God, you have him today. Christians, say amen. But does he have you? Have you given him complete control? Are you allowing him to guide and direct in your work and daily activities? That would mean dying to self, and that's our problem. One thing thou lackest. Are you dying to yourself? You know, Peter learned a great lesson that day when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, up to that point, just like the rest of us Christians, Peter loved Jesus, but he trusted himself. And Peter came to the point that day. He came to that point that day when Christ was crucified, where he learned that at any cost he would deny himself, but never deny his Lord. Where before that, he denied his Lord because he trusted himself. Christian, let me ask yourself a question today. Have you denied yourself? Have you died to yourself? Is Christ first in your life today? Or is he just involved? You know, dear friends, do you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? Is he directing your life and working through you? You know, the world around us is lost, undone, and hell-bound. Lives are changed when you let the Holy Spirit have control. You see, are you letting him work through you, Christian? Are you letting the Spirit of God control your life? Look at our homes. Our homes are a mess. Do you have just a saved home, or do you have a Christian home? Do you have a home and a marriage where God is the center of your home and the center of your relationship? businesses today. You as a Christian, do you honor God in your business and in your dealings with people? Churches today, do we honor God, you know, by making sure that the Holy Spirit is thriving and working in our lives and changing us and honoring God today? We're here today to honor Him. One thing thou lackest. I remember years ago, the story I read this years ago, there was a young boy, about 13 years old, 12 or 13 years old. And he was walked into this church one day to go to Sunday school. And he was different than all the other little boys and girls because he had a club foot, you know. And he drugged his foot and he drugged it. And they laughed and they made fun of him as he continued to walk into Sunday school because he was different than them. And the teacher didn't seem to mind, so she just let them have their fun. That little boy walked out of that Sunday school room that day and swore he would never darken the doors of a church again as long as he lived. You know, that little boy's name was Joy. It wasn't too long after that, a few years later, Joy met a man when he was about 16 years old with a mustache. And he happened to be the minister of affairs for Adolf Hitler, Joseph Goebbels. And he went to work for him. And here he took out Joey, who was Joseph Goebbels, took out his anger and his bitterness on a whole nation of people. And I'm saying to you today, we ought to be very careful for those who come to our church. I'm glad that you are a church where everybody's welcome here, no matter who you are. Because you know what? However you are and what you are the way God made you. And we need to be grateful for what God has made us. Amen. Oh, dear friend, when the Holy Spirit takes over something, something happens. Number four, do you have an overwhelming compassion for lost souls? Do you? You know, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. That word compassion means he got into their skin and he felt what they felt. You know, I hear people say sometimes, Jesus understands. Folks, listen, Jesus doesn't understand sin and excuse sin. He died for it. He bled, shed his blood. There is no understanding of sin, but there is forgiveness. Amen. Compassion means having knowledge of man's lost condition. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men, women and children are lost without Christ." Again, compassion means having knowledge of the awfulness of hell and the glory of heaven. Again, compassion means the knowledge of how the simple gospel to win folks to the Savior. Are you seeking to point others to our Savior? Do you have compassion for a lost and dying world? Dear friends, all fail unless there's that compassion and desire for souls. One soul is worth it all. Amen. You know, the truth, folks, is our churches are dying today. The doors are closing because we don't have compassion for lost souls. God, today, give us compassion. Thank the Lord somebody had compassion for us. Let me just say this morning, do you want to see folks saved? Ask God to use you to win them. Be a soul-out soul winner for God. Let me just say this morning in closing, what is it, dear friend? What is missing in your life? Salvation? Well, you can take care of that today, amen. You know, God will, if you'll let one of us just take the word of God and show you from the scriptures how you too can have eternal life. You do not have to leave this place lost today. And for every Christian that's here today, there's not a one of us in this room that have arrived. You know, there are things in all of our lives. I don't know what's lacking in your life. I know what's lacking in mine. You know, no matter what we've done for the Lord, we can have our long list, but Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. What is it in your life that's missing today? Salvation, direction, fullness of the Spirit, compassion. Do you want God's will done in your life? Will you surrender your all to Him today? One thing thou lackest. I came across this not long ago. It's called the Glory Land Express. How many of you like trains? And I heard a train go by this morning. I love trains. This is called the Glory Land Express, and the engine, by the way, represents fact. It is the Word of God. It's true. Whether you believe it or not, the truth should lead you. And then the second is the coal car, which represents faith. Placing your faith, like the coal car places in the engine, that's what you are to believe is truth. And then thirdly is the caboose, feeling. Then feelings, as long as you put your faith in the Word of God, feelings will follow as long as you stay on track. One thing thou lackest. You know, dear friend, it's easy to get caught up in all the things that we do and pray that it counts. And, you know, and believe me, God is very well pleased with all that we do to serve Him. Don't get that wrong. But my point is there's so much more that we could be doing that we're not, you know, for God's work and God's service. You know, I want to cross over on the other side someday when I meet my Lord. I would sure love for Him to look at me and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, folks, you know, and the thing is, if I've been faithful to my wife 23 hours a day, have I been faithful? See, there ain't no such thing, almost faithful. Either you're faithful or you're not. And I really haven't been faithful unless I've been faithful 24 hours a day. And all I'm saying is that it begins with faithfulness and it ends with faithfulness. And faithfulness is what God requires of good stewards. I don't know what's missing in your life today. I know there's not a person in this room have arrived, and we all need to be at the altar and do business with God today. See, let God help you. God's on your side. He wants to see you make it. But folks, we're not doing a very good job by ourselves, are we? Because we're trying to do it on our own. Let this be the day that you trust Christ as your Savior. Let us take the Word of God and show you from the Scriptures how you too can be born again. Just let us answer the question. If God is speaking to your heart, don't resist the Holy Spirit. And dear Christian, if God has put His finger on something today, deal with it today. Leave here when you say, man, it feels so good to be in the house of the Lord, because God has been honored and pleased today with His people. That's all. Please stand, if you will. With every head bowed, please, every eyes closed. No one leaving the room. No one looking around right now, please. This is a very, very quiet time, very personal time. If you're here today, and you be really honest with yourself, say, preacher, be honest, if I died this very moment, I'm just not sure. I'm really not sure where I'd go. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'd go to hell. I just don't know. Pray for me. Would you just give me the honor and the privilege just to pray for you? That's all. No one's going to come to you. No one's going to embarrass you. But I would be so honored if you let me pray for you. Just write up and write down real quick. Just say, Brother Randy, pray for me. I'm just not sure. Anybody, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. I see that, Ann. God bless you, young man. Anybody else? Pray for me. I'm not sure. Then maybe you're here today, dear Christian, and maybe God has spoken to your heart about things that are lacking. Maybe you've been challenged. Maybe you've been encouraged. Say, just remember me in prayer, Brother Randy. And I ask you to pray for me as well. Anybody else, just raise your hand up and down real quick. God bless you. God bless you. God is so good. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. And thank you so much, Lord, for not only challenging our hearts, but, Lord, pointing out things that are lacking and missing in our lives, that are robbing us of the wonderful blessings of God. And Lord, there was one young man that raised his hand. Said it doesn't know Christ. I'm so thrilled, Lord, that a young child sees his need for Christ. And I pray that someone will speak with him. Help him to understand what it means to be saved. And Lord, I pray if anyone else maybe didn't raise their hand, God, you know who they are. And I pray that you will speak to their hearts as well today. Let them see their need for Christ. Lord, minister to your people as only you can. We'll be real sure to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' sweet, precious name we do pray. Amen.
The young rich ruler seemed to think he had it all together. And he probably dotted all his I's and crossed his T's. Came to the Lord thinking maybe there's just one I or maybe one T I haven't quite dotted or crossed quite as I should. But I'm sure he actually came with a haughty spirit that thinking, man, he had it made. But just in case. And he said, one thing thou lackest. As a child of God, this morning you say, and I think I've got it all together, preacher. But if God spoke to your heart about one thing, you need to step out and come this morning and say, Lord, I'm surrendering that one thing to you this morning so that I can walk out of here in the full power of the Holy Spirit. On that first stage, if God spoke to your heart, you may want to come as a family, an individual. You may want to come as a husband and a wife or a young person. You want to come. If it's for salvation, we'll have someone meet you right here and talk to you and show you from Scripture how you can get it settled and straightened out before you leave here this morning. Boy, if God has spoken to your heart, don't walk out of here. Say, Lord, I'll take care of it later. Because later may never come. Later may never come. On that first stance, if God's spoken to your heart, we'll meet you here in the front. Would you come? What are you trusting in today? What is it you put your hope? What have you put your confidence? What have you put your faith in today? Especially for salvation, if God's spoken to your heart, it's time to step out and time to come. For salvation or otherwise, if God has spoken to your heart, would you come this morning that we may pray? Says, trusting as the moments fly, time has a way of getting away from us. And you may say, I'm going to take care of this later, preacher. I'm going to do this in the privacy of my own home. Listen, God spoke to you here in the sanctuary. And he wants you to get it straightened out here so that the devil doesn't get between you and what God wants to do in your heart. I'll guarantee you, if God's spoken to you, you say, I'm going to do it later, the devil is laughing. He knows that I've now got my opportunity to put that wedge in there. Don't give him that pleasure. Don't give him that opportunity to put that wedge in there. Take care of business before you leave the house of the Lord today. On that second stanza, brightly doth his spirit shine. If his spirit is shining in you now, don't douse it. Don't put out the light. You come this morning.
Brightly doth his spirit.
How about you this morning? God still speaking to your heart. You say, well, preacher, I'm in the middle. Listen, they'll step out of your way. You just step out and you come and meet with the Lord and take care of business today with God. Would you come today? God's still speaking. God's still moving. God wants to touch your heart today. Four stanza says, trusting him while life shall last. How many of you can say, preacher, I'll be here next week. I'll be here next year. You don't know. This is the moment that God has spoken to you. This is the moment to get it dealt with. If you're still lacking one thing, get it taken care of now, and you'll be so glad you did. When you have put Jesus Christ first and foremost in your life, and your life becomes all about Him, I'm not going to tell you that things won't get worse. I'm not going to say you're not going to go through some trials and tribulations. But when you put Christ first and foremost in your life, make Him your purpose, you'll handle those things so much differently. And they won't have nearly the impact that they may have right now, because you've not been putting Christ first. On that last stanza, if you're not going to trust Him to handle your problems. Would you come this morning? God spoke to you today. May you want to just take the hand of someone alongside you and say, let's go. Would you come? Let's pray together. Husbands, wives have done just that. Would you come today? God spoke to you. May not be able to kneel. You may want to just sit on the front pew and meet with the Lord. God's still speaking. God's still moving. Would you come this morning? Just want to pray with you. Just want to talk with you. Open the scriptures, an opportunity. That which you'll never regret if you come to the altar and God's spoken to you today. As we close in prayer, God's spoken to your heart. You just want to meet with myself or meet with Brother Randy or meet with my wife and myself. We'd like to do that right after the service. We got a room back there. We can go back and pray together and talk together. And let us do that. But don't walk out of here today without dealing with God as God has been dealing with your heart. Don't frustrate the Spirit. Father, we thank you for the time that we can be together. Lord, how great and how wonderful and precious is your word. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit and how he moves, encourages and challenges and strengthens us. And Lord, we pray not just for those who came this morning, but Lord, those whose hearts you're still dealing with. Hearts that are resistant. Lord, hearts that will not admit that there is one thing lacking in their lives. And Lord, yet their life, it shows it in so many different ways that there is something lacking. So Lord, we pray today that you'll guide and direct and certainly meet all the needs, strengthen and encourage those who came to the altar today. And Lord, for the individual who raised their hand concerning salvation, we pray today that this will be the day they get it settled once and for all. Father, dismiss us now, we pray, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.